Well, hey everybody, welcome to our online service this week, and I am so excited to welcome you to this special edition of our online service where I will be interviewing Pastor Amanda about her leadership for us in the missions ministry and why she's so wonderful at that. We're so excited that you have decided to make this service a part of your day whenever you might be watching it, and we hope that our time together is a blessing to you. So Amanda, we are in the middle of Missions Month for our church, and you are the associate pastor that leads us in our missions ministry.
That's me.
Yeah, and I gotta say, it's so great that you have a passion for leadership in this area of the church and ministry, so thank you.
You got it. It's my pleasure. I love getting to lead and talk about this stuff. So.
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, and a couple of them are like, for sure, for people that don't know your story a little bit, just
sure.
A chance to get to know you better. So why are you so passionate about leading missions for our church?
Yeah, well, I think really it's foundational in my faith that if you follow Jesus, you find your way in serving. I think that is the only kind of understanding of faith that I've been raised up in. And I think there's something that happens in service where God shows up in ways that is different than in a Sunday service and in some of the other ways that we do life together in the church. So I think it's always just been something I've been drawn to. I've been really lucky and privileged to have a lot of incredible experiences in mission that grow my faith and draw me to that work even more so. I always wanted a job where I could serve teenagers and do mission, and here I am. So,
in Taylor Swift fashion, I'm going to ask you some questions about the eras of your life and how they have helped you become the pastor and mom and wife that you are today. And I think people need to understand that it's like always a package deal. That like we are real people who
sure.
happen to be pastors that love our families, and this all matters in our families too. So. So from your what we're going to call the early years era, how did your growing up time impact your sense of call to service?
Yeah. So my mom always took us to church. We moved around when I was little, but the church that I call my home church is called Winnetka Congregational Church. It's in Winnetka. It's where I got married. It's where you married us, me and Terry. And that is where I think my foundation of service and faith came from. And in those early years, you know, my mom took me and my siblings to church. We were really involved. And even from a young age, my mom involved us in hands-on service. So there's a food ministry called A Just Harvest in Rogers Park that serves, I think, lunch and dinner. We were in school during the day, so we went and served dinners. You know, I'm one of four kids, and my youngest brother, Christian, I remember being like probably Riley's age, you know, 4 or 5, being brought into the city to serve meals to folks who were experiencing poverty and specifically food insecurity. So that ministry is called A Just Harvest, and my mom still volunteers there today, but took us when we were young and like soaking it all in, right? So that was one of my earliest experiences of being included in hands-on ministry. I brought a couple props for where like this connects to my faith. These I've had for like a long time. So this, I think I made in college or seminary. It was like a wood. This is wood. I don't know. There's like a cross in it. And it says, "Here I am, Lord, send me," which is Isaiah 6:8. You know, it's Isaiah's call story. And Isaiah has this vision of like, I don't know, who's going to go do this stuff for God? And Isaiah's like, me. A lot of call stories are like, not me, but Isaiah's like, I'll go, here I am, send me. And I feel like that has always been my call story. It wasn't a lot of reluctance. It was always like, put me in, coach. So Isaiah 6:8 has always been a verse that stood out for me. And I made this and probably had this in dorms and stuff like that at some point. And the other one is Micah 6:8, and this one was in the small chapel at my home church. And Micah 6:8 has just stood out to me for a long time. This was from my youth pastor, Jenny. She gave it to me for my pastor office when I came here, actually. And it says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" And I think that is like kind of how I understood who God was and how we were supposed to live in the world. And I think I've just tried to do that in a lot of ways, right? So that's like how I was taught, how I was raised. And other than that, Just Harvest food ministry, my biggest encounter with service growing up in those early years was going on youth mission trips, and they really changed my life. And I am so lucky that they get to still be a part of my life. There's nothing like it. The thing that stood out to me about the trips that I've gotten to lead as a pastor versus those trips is they were international mission trips. So it was like a radical exposure to a life different than yours. Yeah. And you can get that in this country, right? And I've led trips like that where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is here. I can't believe people live like this here. But they were international, so it was just like that big shock and awe experience. The other thing that was different is we returned to the community year after year. And so something I'll talk about how missions ministry and how missions experiences are life-changing is through ongoing relationships. And so I got to return to communities and build relationships over time in places that are very different than how I grew up.
Well, that is amazing. And it's like, I mean, I think about how important it is that you had this foundation. And now that you are getting to provide that foundation for others is such a gift, including for my family. And I love that. So you did grow up and left home, and then you had your college era.
Yeah.
And which some people don't know is when we got to meet each other.
Yeah.
And we still have to thank your mom for that.
Yeah.
Because she dragged you to the church that I was working at, and the rest is history. But in college, you got to serve at some other organizations. And I think is when you really got introduced to what we would call the self-development of people. How do you help people grow so they can be sustainable providers for themselves? So can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, so yeah, we met and we started doing youth ministry together in middle school is where I got plugged in. And I actually remember being like, why aren't these people volunteering? Like, where's our service program? I remember that being one of the first like challenges I brought to you. And then I still just keep doing that same thing.
Yep.
I was like, what are we doing? Where are these people serving? They're middle schoolers, they can do stuff, right? They have something to offer. So I can't even remember where we took them. I think at the baby fold actually. To sort stuff. I wasn't, you know, it was a bigger church I got involved in, right? And so I was really just plugged in through the youth ministry with you and Laura. I wasn't involved in the missions ministry there. But through Second Pres, I did encounter some of their longer standing mission partners, including this place called Western Avenue Community Center that I think it had a hand in starting or funding. It was actually something I encountered through my college experience, though. I was in a class where I needed to get plugged in for service hours. I needed to be like free staff to an agency. And through our connection at the church, I found Western Avenue Community Center. The way I got plugged in was through being a tutor in an after school program. And I can tell you, I'm already nervous about needing to help my kids with homework. Like
it's terrifying.
There's nothing about tutoring that lines up with my skill set, except that it is meeting kids who need an extra person to pay attention to them. So I find myself as a tutor in after school programs and other places a lot, not because I like love math or want to like learn how to teach multiplication, but I'll show up for you on a school night when your parents aren't home and you're coming to this program instead. So that was where I got plugged in at Western Avenue. And I had a little buddy named CJ who was 5 years old. And like I was his reading buddy every week. I think it was on Tuesdays. That experience in college between Western Avenue and then some study time I did up in Chicago is where I wanted to put together the experience I had of growing up in a nice neighborhood and a nice church, being well educated, and serving in these communities that didn't look anything like that. And I wanted to put the two together, and I knew that there was something that I was learning from those experiences that was really meaningful to me.
Well, and I know that those years and experiences were incredibly formative for you because it was the time where I think your call to youth ministry and mission merged.
Yeah.
And here you are as our pastor that leads those things.
Yeah.
I know that from day one, you know, I knew that you brought a passion and leadership for areas of ministry that I value but don't have experience in leading. And so that's been such a gift to see that emerge. Now for that church in Bloomington, Second Press, that we are both indebted to for so many ways. And then more churches and more organizations to follow, which is like in the next era.
Yeah.
You moved on from college to seminary. And went from Bloomington, Illinois to Princeton, New Jersey. And it's, people quickly find out that we went to the same seminary. Which means that I didn't ruin you and you didn't ruin me, because we were like...
we were not there at the same time, yeah.
Yeah.
In seminary, so people might not know that you moved to New Jersey to go to seminary and then stayed.
Yeah, my first call was 45 minutes from Princeton too, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and that, well, maybe combine those for the sake of time today.
Sure.
So you had your seminary in New Jersey eras.
Yeah.
Which is very like pop culture to have a New Jersey era.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, what were you exposed to newly
Yeah,
there?
Well, do you remember when I went to Princeton, I was gonna go do a dual degree and be a social worker too. Do you remember that part of my era?
Do you remember all this? Yeah.
Because I forget about it sometimes until we were talking about some of this stuff. So I did develop this call in college specifically to serve young people and serve my marginalized communities through missions, and I didn't know how to do that. And I thought I needed to go be a different kind of professional to be able to do that, right? So these dual degree programs exist where you can get your Master's of Divinity, that's what you get in seminary, and a Master's of Social Work. So I headed off to Princeton thinking I was gonna be there for 4 years and get these two degrees. And my experience in seminary was really discerning where I was called to serve fully, right? And I had an experience where I discerned that I was not gonna go get a second degree to be a social worker, because the work I knew God had gifted me to do was in the church, and that what God needed me to do is keep bringing people from the church out into these places and experiences and bring these mission partners to the church and kind of serve in that bridge building capacity. And so I discerned that in seminary, so I took a full-time call as an associate pastor for youth and mission, right? So I got to find, again, a dream job and do that. My seminary years, I got to work at a church called Broad Street in Philadelphia. It was exceptionally formative for me. It was one of the things that made me realize I wanted to do this kind of intersectional work between youth ministry and nonprofits, because that was what Broad Street was doing. It also helped me realize that there...
And I want to say, Broad Street is in the arts district of downtown Philadelphia, and it is inhabiting the ministry of Broad Street, an old Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. That was like in the middle of like a hot area, but was forgotten.
Yeah.
And they just started to have a ministry to people,
Who were sleeping outside.
It was housing insecure. Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, picture any kind of downtown fancy church, a Fourth Pres, a Fifth Ave in Manhattan. Like, there are these churches that are cathedral like, right? These huge, beautiful churches that held important people at one point. And nobody was there anymore, but they have this building that's beautiful, but also falling apart. And who their neighbors were poor folks sleeping outside, queer folks who've been kicked out of their houses, addicts. Just all of the issues that we know need our help in responding to were like literally at their doorstep. And so this church decided to be about the needs of the community, right? So they had an artsy service on Sunday nights. And the part that I got to participate in was bringing suburban youth groups to serve in that church for a whole summer. And it really changed my life. And I think my language for how I talk to kids on our own mission trips we do here, it's just like in my bones from those experiences. So I knew I wanted to do that kind of work. I stayed in New Jersey to do my first call. And there were two main things around youth and mission that happened at that church. There was a giant youth mission trip that happened every summer. They were very proud of it. It was like big and shiny and impactful, but it took a lot of work and a lot of resources and a lot of people. And so I got to lead those, and those were great experiences. There was something called the Agape Community Kitchen, and it was a weekly hunger program that was led by teenagers. It was in Elizabeth, a port city of New Jersey. It served some pretty vulnerable folks who were very different than my students. But we gave teenagers an opportunity to lead and have a voice and have an encounter with a community very different than them. And that was really faith-shaping for them, faith-shaping for the adults who got to be around it. You know, and the hope is that the kids in that church go off to do great things and they never forget about people in need, right? And they can find different ways to meet those needs as they become adults. So those are the two main like youth and mission encounters I got to have there. And then I did this crazy thing, like take some teenagers to Zambia on a mission trip, because I'm
determined. Which is where, by the way?
Zambia is in the southern part of Africa.
I just want to make sure everybody else knows.
Yes.
Because I know.
Zambia, Africa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Livingstone, Zambia, to be specific, which is where Victoria Falls is, which is a giant waterfall. It's awesome. So that church had an international mission partnership through the Presbyterian Church. So delegates from the Zambian church would come to our church, and we built relationships and we had experiences, and you know, Jesus says, come and see. And so I was like, we should probably come and see what your life in Zambia is about. And in the past, it had been kind of just a couple ladies who really cared about this, who went on those kinds of experiences. And I just kind of had a bigger vision for it. So we took a team of 15 folks, age range from 15 to maybe 66 at the time. No, Diane was older, 73. And it was beautiful and intergenerational, and a different kind of experience than I've ever gotten to do before. So, yeah, and they keep going back. So,
wow, that's yeah. I mean, and I heard about all this, and I believed it happened, but then it's like amazing. All right, and that leads us to the last and the current era.
Yeah.
You know, which is the Park Ridge era, which has been amazing. And not only are you currently in this, but it's like been a double like era, because it's been fun because we've served together again, which has been great. And then also you came to us when our kids were little, mm-hmm. and you and Terry were newly married basically,
yeah.
And living your best, you know, eventually dual income, no kid life.
Yeah.
Terry's been on his own service journey,
yes.
As a coach and a trainer and now a cop. It truly is amazing. But then now you're a mom of two kids and still doing this amazing ministry, and have led Sunday Night Suppers for the last 6 years. What is like in this era, what keeps you going and as well?
Yeah, 6 years, give or take a pandemic, right? Like it feels like a lot of time and no time,
yeah.
all at once. So I think what keeps me going in this work is when you're plugged in to a faith-based why of service, I think that's like a well that doesn't dry up. I think there's a lot of hopelessness we can encounter in the world, whether that's policies and politics, or activism and justice work being really draining for folks. There's a lot of tired helpers out there, a lot of tired nurses and teachers and social workers and activists. I've held all of those hats, right? But I like encounter them in my work. And what keeps me going is that I know that God's plan for the world is good. And I know that like the promises that good stuff happens in the moment of encounter, in the moment of service, like it's enough. Because like, I think one of the questions we in service work have to ask is like, well, what's mine to do? And I think it's a really important question for us as pastors to keep asking right now, like, what is mine to do? Like, all of it is too much to hold. And so I trust that like our Creator holds it all together, even when I can't. But like, what's mine to do, right? And so I think a question for all of us to be asking ourselves in the pews or listening or whatever is like, well, what's mine to do? And like that moment of serving a meal is enough. Like that moment of meeting an immediate need in the moment, like that's a real person that needed something from you and that's enough, right? So that keeps me going. And I think that experience changes folks on the serving end of it. You know, people who didn't know they could make a difference or didn't know that it was, you know, that hope was possible, right? I think it changes us to be in serving work. And so I just, I think we just keep trying, we keep showing up.
So one of the things that's been, like we hoped would happen through your ministry and especially through missions is that it would have an impact on the kids and students and the next generation of our church and the church in the future. You hope that happens. You can't promise that it's gonna happen, but it has happened, which is amazing. And so there's this growing group of young adults and students that are getting to experience service because of your leadership. How has that changed you, and how has that changed them, and how do you think it's like changing the world for the better?
I think the best thing to happen to me as a COVID mom trying to still build a thing here, right? Because it has happened when I was like new here, COVID did. I didn't really have much to show for like having been here and doing ministry. And it was the experience of like Sunday night suppers became the thing that I could show up to. And then a young person started showing up too. So there was a mom who was part of this regular volunteer team, and then a student, her name is Maeve. We talk about Maeve a lot. But she started showing up, I think because her mom needed her out of the house to do a thing. But it, you know, just like, get, you know, it was COVID and they were teenagers, right? They could stay in their room on their phones forever, right? So in this brief window of time where I was kind of wondering what my impact was, I got to show up regularly and serve alongside, she was a freshman at the time, no, sophomore at the time, in high school. And you know, we developed this relationship and alongside with these other adults who care about serving, right? So we had this mini church, this mini youth group. It was adults who care about service, who care about teenagers, creating a safe space. And it was the best gift to me because it gave me the vision for teenagers serving alongside me, even if I didn't need them, right?
Yeah.
Even I there wasn't like a big job to do, but they needed a job to do, and so I made one. And we just kept doing that, right? So all these free fake interns I've made up out of nowhere were because young people needed a place to be and something to do, and so we gave it to them. And it's been the best thing for our guests, it's been the best thing for our teenagers. And you know, through the length of our relationships, I've just learned that like it's really been what young people needed at the time. And I think if that's true for our little operation here at Sunday Night Suppers, like that's gotta be true on college campuses and bigger communities, that young people need a place to plug in and adults have gotta make a space for them.
100%. Well, you know, as we were getting ready to do this interview, one of the things that struck me as being so true is just that you are so experienced and so qualified and gifted and called to lead us in this area of ministry. And I just want to say how grateful I am for that and how thankful I am that you do this for us. And it's amazing. So thank you. It's just the best. And I think it's one of those things where, I first met you in the fall of 2009, which is amazing. So I know most or all of this, but most people don't. And so that's like why I was excited to kind of go through all the eras with you is because I think because you look like you're still 19, pretty yeah. much, you look much closer to how you did when we met than I do, for sure. But I think, you know, to know that you have intersected with the development of people, housing insecurity, food insecurity, international relief, that you've led all this from a church-based launching spot
yeah.
is something that people don't know exactly all of that. So I'm so excited that people get a better glimpse of that from this time. All right, so my last question for you is there any question that you wish I would have asked that we can pretend I asked and you just answer?
I think one of the questions is like, so where do I start or what do I do? How do I get right. involved, right? And I think a lot of the limitations people put on themselves this time, but I gotta tell you, some of our busiest people serve regularly. And so I think everybody needs to ask themselves like, well, how am I spending my time and how could I be? And I want to challenge everybody that the most transformative service experiences that I've had that I know are possible, they're regular, because the more regular you are, the more relational you are. Serving at a food pantry once a year, maybe That's transformative. I know God shows up in those encounters, but I think that there is so much possibility when things are regular and relational. And I think we're gonna try to provide some of those opportunities this year for things to be a little more regular and relational. And then, you know, if you're listening and you're like, my time showing up to a food pantry and carrying heavy boxes is behind me. Like, if you're there in that season of life and you're like, my doing years are kind of done. One of the things I'm leaning into in this season for us is that, like, in our mission partners, we get to be a part of what they're doing. Like, in leveraging our relationships and leveraging our resources to make what our mission partners do possible, like, we are also there with them. And I think some folks, like, need that encouragement and reminder that, like, even if you're not the one building the ramp or moving the heavy boxes of food, like, you can be in this and God can use you in some pretty incredible ways through the network of support that this church already has.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sitting down.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, to talk. And I think I'll just wrap up with, I think the prayer that we have is we are so grateful for this season of Sunday Night Suppers. As we've shared elsewhere, like, we've hosted for 6 years here. We've had our incredible co-hosts of St. Mary's Episcopal. It's both, like, exciting and unnerving that God is going to do something new and different with our church, because we're going to enter a new season of missions ministry. It's a shifting season for you, as you know, your girls are now starting kindergarten and, like, are the older one, Riley. Yeah. So, like, I just think my prayer that I want us to be lifting up is, like, asking, what is God going to do through us that we can't imagine and get excited about? So, well, we'll do it together, right?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.